Hey, y'all. Before we begin, I just want to say this is my 13th pod. So I'm just super excited for this journey. I'm super excited to be able to come on here every week to be able to share my journey with you all. I'm hope and I pray that I'm helping some of you through your own obstacles. And it's really beautiful to even just see myself blossom. So make sure you're doing the work as well so you can look back and see how much you've grown. 13 episodes is crazy because I really never thought I would be here doing this. So it's really a beautiful thing to see me out and just fulfilling God's purpose for my life. So I hope you guys are doing the same in your relationship building. It's such a beautiful day today in Cleveland. The weather is super nice. Coming down here, I felt really, really good. And I prayed on what I got to share with you guys today. And during my journey, I've really realized that sin is a constant thing and you never really know what sin is. And it's not as simple as don't kill, steal, and, you know, murder and things of that nature, like things that we know is against the law, but to just like fully understand what sin is. So welcome back to Growth Purposes Only podcast with me, your host, Princess Serafina. Stay up to date every Thursday, new episodes on all streaming platforms. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment on our YouTube channel for Growth Purposes Only, no spaces. I pray that whomever is supposed to receive this message, it reaches you and it uplifts you. Let's get into it. So today we're talking about sin, and this is like super big for me because, like I said, I'm so accustomed to sin being just don't kill, don't steal, you know, don't lie. But it's so much more deeper than that. And since giving my life to God, I've really tried to walk in his image. And sometimes it comes to be like the word that they use is our spiritual ego. So it's like, not that I think I'm better than other people, but like you get like this righteousness feeling, like, you know, I can't do this, I can't do that. And it to others, it may come off like you're too good. And in some instances, you're a child of God. Like you are too good for those things, but, you know, not in a demeaning way, like where you're, you know, not good enough because God loves us all, right? So just, you know, embracing the journey and realizing like when I do sin, because spiritual ego will have you thinking like you're just living right because you're not getting in certain activities. And a lot of people begin to think that spirituality is boring and walking with Christ is like super restrictive and like you can't do anything. You know, I've stopped drinking. I don't smoke. I don't kick it. I drove past a bar I used to go to over the weekend and I just looked. Like, I had no interest in it. And it's so beautiful to see how, like, God changes our appetite during our walk. Like, we no longer hunger for the things that used to keep us captive. And one of the things that the Bible teaches is that, you know, once you give your life to God, that's when the obedience to the law kicks in. So it's not that you are saved from by your acts alone, but you are saved through your faith in God. And because of your faith in God, you will want to abide by God's law. So the law alone does not save us. It's our faith. But once you begin to like develop that love of God and build that relationship with him, you're not going to want to disobey. You're going to actually hunger, like thirst for the law. So just living a holy life. And there's actually a scripture that refers to the deeds of the devil and the Holy Spirit, like the gifts or the ways to live. And it refers to, as far as the deeds of the devil, just partying. It refers to impure thoughts, lustful thoughts, selfish ambition. And I know I used to struggle a lot with selfish ambition because I wanted things for me, like because I felt I deserved it. But I'm not doing things for myself. I'm doing things for the glory of God. So I've learned to like disassociate myself with whatever goal or thing I'm setting out to obtain so that God ultimately gets the glory. So selfish ambition, impure thoughts, you know, envy. Oh, that's another one that I struggle with. And not in a negative way, but sometimes, you know, seeing people with things that you want in the future, or if you always want it, it can like bring a lot of feelings of envy. Not, and you're happy for them, but you want it for yourself. And in God's time, those things will come. So it's just like being able to embrace and be happy for other people without having that feeling of like, I want that for me too. And I've also learned that desire is actually a sin. So I'm like, during this, I'm like, all the things that I want, it's really like a desire for those things. And I'm just like, wow, I never knew that was a sin. In Romans 7, it teaches us that do not covet. Like, do not desire. So it's like, I can't even want things. Like, so I'll just be like, all right, I'll be having to check myself. And then once I read the word, you know, and then I begin to go out into the world and I feel myself maybe desiring things or maybe having those impure thoughts, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I get that conviction. And it's almost like your parent like correcting you when you do something wrong, but it's like a gentle, compassionate conviction. Like, and how I deal with it going forward is, you know, not to do it again, and, you know, be aware of when I'm doing certain things and just self-aware. And that comes with like thinking before I speak, really processing what's being told to me and making sure that it's not my feelings getting in the way, because the heart is very deceitful. So I might feel a way and it's not actually what or how something was being portrayed to me. So it's like I have to really check myself and think and take my ego out of it that's really getting bruised in a situation and really process it like, no, this really, this person or the message means well. So anything else I have going on that is bothering my self-esteem or my ego, I really need to check myself and realign my spirit with God's word. So I know a lot of us are churchgoers on Sundays, and that's the only time we fill ourselves up with God's presence. And I think that's really hard to do and be consistent with in your journey. So I just encourage you to find a group of people that you can do your walk with so that you have that consistent, you know, relationship with God and embracing his way. I have joined a group called Pretty Girls Love Theology. Super needed for me, just being in a walk with other women. And we just pray over each other. You know, we talk about spiritual warfare. That's the season they're in when I joined. So we're reading Neil Anderson, Bondage Breaker, and he talks about spiritual warfare when we're up against in this, what we're up against in the world. So there's three pieces of armor that we already have with us, and they are the belt of truth. So when the devil comes against you and people of this world that are possessed by demons, when they come against you and they're saying things about you that may not be true, the belt of truth gives you the ability to tell you, them who you are in Christ. So with their words, they can't hurt you and can't reach you. And even Jesus was tested in the Bible. Satan was trying to get Jesus to do all these things to prove that he was the Messiah. Even he just like responded with scripture, the Bible says. And eventually the devil had to flee, because you can't come up against someone who has the belt of truth, who knows who they are, who knows that they don't have to prove themselves to anybody. The second piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. So that one is like God justifies us. So I don't need anyone to tell me who I am. God already said that. It is your protection against Satan, accusations about your worth to a holy God. So he likes to, the devil likes to remind us and say, you know, you were a sinner. You like to club. You like to drink. That's the past. And in God, I am free now that I am born again. So maybe in another life, that was who I am. But God gave me freedom when I gave my life to him. So now I'm saved. So I don't recognize with those behaviors anymore. And even if I'm tempted, you know, I have the ability to repent and tell God to and ask God for forgiveness. So just when you're sinning and you know you're aware of your sins, you want to go to God and repent. And that has helped me a lot, because I used to be like, oh, I messed up. God's going to do away with me and not want to help me anymore. And I had to realize, like, no, he's a forgiving God. Like, he's very compassionate and he loves us. So I have to grant my own self mercy and grace just like he would, so that I can be able to continue to walk. Because that's one of the things like the devil likes to use against us is our mistakes. And he studies us just as much as God is like watching over us. So we just have to be aware that he knows us, or he's paying attention as well to our routines. And the third is shoes of peace. This piece of armor per se for me is something I've always had. Something I've always had, just going back on like telling you guys how I've always been like the advice friend. So I've always seen things from both sides, and I've always wanted to grant grace. Even if I knew the actions of the person was wrong, we truly never know what someone else is dealing with in the meantime. So I love to grant grace, and I just want people to be more aware if someone's hurting you, you know, you want to put up boundaries. And just for my own self, my dad is currently residing with me, and it's been okay this far, but I've realized lately that my boundaries haven't been as strong, and he's been like overstepping with my family and my daughters, playing favoritism, and just like completely going against the things that I'm trying to uproot and instill in my family. And it's been hard because I normally would hold a grudge and get very judgy. And like now, since I'm walking with Christ, I'm like trying to find better ways to be able to handle the situation so that I don't hold bitterness in my heart. So I've prayed on it. I've asked God to release the feelings of bitterness from my heart so that I may like approach the situation in a way that he would. And it has helped a lot. I've actually seen like a difference in my dad, and like feeling strong to correct and put boundaries in place. I also had a therapy session over it, and she kind of asked, and she was like, why don't you put boundaries in place? Or how does it make you feel? Or why you don't feel like you can say anything to him? Because when I would correct him, I would like kind of not come to his face and tell him, but I would like say it from like the stairs, and he would be on the couch. So I don't feel like I felt confident enough to be like, yeah, dad, that's not cool. Don't talk to the girls like that. You know, just like the little girl in me remembering my childhood and remembering her being afraid to speak up for herself. And it just toggles back to another memory when my dad and my mom was having a domestic dispute, and they were receiving mediation, and I saw it take place. So the mediator asked me what I saw, and I repeated what I saw, and my dad was like, that ain't even what happened. Just like kind of disregarded everything I said. And me before that, my dad and I had a really, really good relationship. And the way he reacted to me made me feel like I did something wrong. And I think that really played a big part into me silencing myself over time, just never speaking up because of that abandonment afterwards, like feeling like they wouldn't want me around anymore. And it really was so beautiful, like having that moment with my therapist and really being able to get to the bottom of it, because I've been in therapy for 2 years, and I've always thought that we figured it out already. But like when tears started to fall in that session, I was like, yeah, we're finally breaking barriers. And I was doing it without God in the beginning, and now I'm doing it with God. So I'm able to like have a different set of eyes as I'm trying to heal myself. And it's beautiful. Like it was a beautiful moment. I shed those tears, and then I was ready to move on and be able to conquer it with God by my side. So now like when my dad may overstep, I feel confident enough to be like, yeah, dad, that's not okay. We're going to have to reevaluate how we deal with the girls and feel confident in it and not worry about whether or not I'm going to be disregarded or not. Because if someone was meant to be a part of my journey, they would be there. And I'm not afraid to be able to speak what's on my mind or on my heart anymore, so that I may keep someone in my life. Like that isn't happening for me anymore. And I'm just very thankful for that moment in my life, because I've realized I've held a lot of friendships in my life longer than they should have been present because of that fear of like abandonment. But to get back to the shoes of peace, as a peacemaker among believers, peacemakers bring people together by promoting fellowship and reconciliation. And that's like the whole purpose. Like, we all have that already. We all have the ability to not choose sides and to be able to say, you know, you were wrong or this person was wrong, and maybe this is a better way to approach the situation. And just like I said, I deal with my dad, like, instead of just like disregarding him and doing away with him, or even disregarding my own feelings, I was able to put on the shoes of peace and, like, you know what? Let's revisit this. Let's actually not do this anymore, because it's not helpful to the children. And be compassionate in your delivery, because a lot of times messages can get disregarded when the delivery is wrong. So in that group, it really has helped me, like, keep on my journey and stay away from sin and find ways to overcome it, because the devil's job is to bring us down. Like, he already knows he's in hell, and he wants to bring us with him, and he wants to make a fool out of God. Like, the war is not even between us and the devil, it's between God and the devil. So, like, we're just like pawns in it, and our lives are just being used in different ways and manipulated in different ways, and we just have to overcome it with the word of God. And it really has helped me this far. Like, I feel much more courageous, much more strong, and like situations where I would feel fearful of, I've really relied on the Bible to be able to bring me out of every situation. I talk to God a lot. Like, that's my best friend. And I tell him everything, to the point where I'm okay with not having friends. So it's like so weird. I'm like, this is my best friend. I don't need another friend. And I truly feel fulfilled with just him and him alone. So like now I know like he's really truly working through me and in me. But when it comes to sin, like I said, a lot of people like to think that because of sin, or what the Bible says is sin, or even like some religion can be very judgy and a lot of rules, that you can't live a fun life as a believer. And I disagree. Like, my life is full of fun. I enjoy things in the pure manner. I enjoy things for what they are and not try to make them more or less. And I think because I'm not trying to control the environment, I'm able to just enjoy it for what it is. Some of the ways of living in God. So I told you the devil deeds. So I'm telling you the other ones. To live in the Holy Spirit, we need to have joy. And that's, joy is forever. Happiness comes in waves, but joy is the one thing that's constant. And for myself, living this way has been hard, because like I have to find happiness in everything, or just like joy and everything, like being okay with what's present. And I'm like learning, but it's not like something I'm super good at just yet. So that is something I definitely want to work on, like as I continue my walk. Another one, gentleness. As being an educator, dealing with children all day, it's very hard for me to be gentle 24/7, but I'm realizing these are children and they're learning. So the way I deliver my messages or my corrections really does play a part in their reception. So I've like wanted to be more gentle with that. And I even sometimes I just take breaths and I just like, and I just kind of like, what would God do? Or I even ask God, like, God, help me in this situation. So gentleness, joy, patience, self-control. It's in the book of Galatians. Galatians 5:19, living by the Spirit's power is the title of the, if you have the New Living Translation Bible, and it just talks about like the ways we live in the Holy Spirit's power and the ways we can live in the devil's deeds or spirits. And those are the ones that stick out to me the most and that I can remember right now. Love is a big one too. I'm sorry, I forgot that one. And just to start to embodying those things and just having those things in you too, what also help you overcome sin. Like if I'm full of love, I won't feel the need to hate or gossip against somebody. It's at work, I've kind of like separated myself. I don't want to say separated, isolated, or God has separated me. And I've learned to like move out of that a little bit more, to back into the work-life environment, because I feel more stronger in my faith and more stronger in my walk. So like when I am approached with sin, or I am approached with like things that are not Christ-like or godly-like, I'm able to sit there confidently and not be tempted. But I'm not saying I'm perfect. Like I still pray for that strength every day. So we went to, at work, we went to a staff outing, and they went for margaritas, and I got a taco salad and some water, and everybody was just like drinking, and I'm just like the only one eating. And they were like, you can't even drink wine. And it was just like the temptation, like, you know, even just trying to compromise what I said I wasn't going to do. And I'm just like, no. And someone else mentioned, like, the Bible doesn't even mention that you can't drink. And I'm like, it doesn't, you know. But like, when I want to be committed to something, I want to be able to live without it. And I want to, when I'm ready, I will introduce maybe wine back into my life. But as of right now, I've been satisfied. And I don't like to rely on anything as a crutch to get me through. I know after a long day at work, we like to have a drink or smoke or just to release like anxiety. And I truly want to allow all my relief to come from God. So once I'm like committed and we're strong there, then maybe I'll have like a cup of wine and stuff. But I don't see the need for it. And it has helped me a lot with just like overcoming temptation. Because if you're not too strong in your walk and you have a drink and then one drink comes another drink, now it's just like your drunkenness. And that was one of the devil deeds, now that I think about it, that comes up, drunkenness. Like, I don't want to be a drunk mess. I've been down that road before and I do not want to go back down that road. It's terrible on your body, and my body's a temple. So I want to be able to do all things in moderation. And a couple of scriptures I have is Romans 2:13, for it is not merely knowing the law that brings God's approval. Those who obey the law will be declared right in God's sight. So the law is what makes you not sin. And I want to be declared right in God's sight. Like, this world will make you feel like you're not living your life, living your best life, if you're not out drinking, partying, just doing away with our flesh, like giving into our flesh. And I've been living a wonderful life by just being obedient to God. Like, he's been so good to me. So it's a different relationship, and it brings me a different form of joy and happiness in my life, where I wouldn't be able to get by feeding my flesh when the clubs and drinking. Even when I was doing those type of activities, it would be so temporary. Like, once the event was over, I would be like, all right, now when's the next one? Or I'm out again the next night trying to keep refilling that up, when I now just need God and I can just have a simple conversation and feel great. Like, I don't need to put my body in distress. I don't need to be in environments that don't cultivate loving vibes. Romans 3:22, it says, we are all made right in God's sight when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we can be saved in the same way, no matter who we are or what we have done. So it's like, once I believe God has truly taken away our sins by sending his son, Jesus, now I don't feel trapped by sin. Like, I don't feel like I have to do these things. Like, no, I'm free from that. Like, I don't have to give in to that. It doesn't have control over me. That means the devil doesn't have control over me, because we all know what a drunk night can turn into. Maybe a drunk phone call, a car accident, you know, altercations. I've been down that road, and it's just like, I'm free from all of that now. So I'm able to walk in life full of peace and not need to seek any outside resources outside of God, who's already within me, to be able to live like a joyful life. And then they talk about how there's only a way to be accepted by God, and he makes people right only by faith, which I've mentioned earlier. So it's just like, just having faith in God alone is enough for your salvation. And it sounds easy, like, yeah, I believe in God. But like, when you're tested, it's like so different. It's like, no, when God puts you, or you're in a tough situation and you feel like you believe in God, but like this situation is getting the best of you, like, that's when your faith's tested. Like, how faithful are you? Like, I've been talking about my basement being flooded, and it's still flooded, and I'm still going through turmoil, but I am so faithful. I'm so like trusting that God's going to work everything out. So I kind of like disregard its presence in my life, and I just kind of push forward and do what I have to do. I got plumbers coming out and they're working on it. So it's just like really realizing that my faith in God alone is what saves me. Like, I truly believe he's going to work it out, and I truly believe he's there for me, so I don't have to feel tempted by sin. And I still call on God and faithfully call on God to, you know, renew my heart so that I'm able to like love him enough to only want to obey him. So I won't be contempted by sin. So my walk with God has been such a beautiful journey. I've been able to like walk around with a smile knowing that like, you know, there's nothing that I can't overcome. There's nothing that I can't get through. And it really has helped me. I feel like a totally different woman. And the born again statement, like when you make your life right with Christ, you truly are born again. Like, I'm not the same person. I don't feel like the old princess. I don't want to do the same things I used to do. Like I said, I drove past that bar just like, Like, I had no interest in actually parking, going in, even having a drink. I grocery shop. I don't even buy wine. And I don't know. It's really, truly fulfilling to see, like, God work and move in my life. And I really hope that this journey continues. Because the devil is at work every day. So, but I know with God by my side that I can overcome anything. So remember, you are not alone in this journey. It's spiritual, not personal. Thank you for joining another episode of Growth Purposes Only with me, your host, Princess Serafina. Until next time, grow gracefully.